Welcome to Fit Food Junkies, Addicted to Health. My name is Emily E., and I'm a certified group fitness instructor and personal trainer. We will not only talk about fitness, nutrition, and business, but also explore how to build a strong mindset, have ultimate motivation, and how to reach your breakthrough in life. Let's start on our health and fitness journey together.
I'm thrilled today to introduce y'all to Rich Powells, founder of Rich Nuts. He is an accomplished entrepreneur who bags the best branded nuts in the game. Rich goes from firefighter to a gourmet nut producer. He discovered the health benefits of sprouting nuts while a professional firefighter. He was searching for a snack to sustain him on long shifts while creating nuts that are easier to digest, nutrient dense, and ones that make you feel energized. We discuss how to build your own business, perspective and life-changing experiences, finding your mission, and so much more. I am so excited to welcome Rich Powells.
Rich, welcome to my podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
I am super excited to interview today. You've done a lot in your life. Before we go into everything that you've endured in your life, tell me what your shirt says.
So we made these new shirts for the brand. They say, "Ask me about my nuts." And they have these little cartoon characters on the bottom that are representative of our different flavors.
You founded a company called Rich Nuts, which we're going to go all into. Before we do, tell me a little bit about who you are.
Like you mentioned, I'm the founder of Rich Nuts. But before that, I had a 20-year career with the fire department, Los Angeles County. I was a firefighter and paramedic.
You had a very unique and hard childhood. I want to just start from the ground up into who you are today.
Yeah, so I was actually born in jail. My parents had a substance abuse problem, and they got convicted of some crimes. And basically, the only reason I exist, they told me, is because they got busted. When they were cleaned up to stand trial, that's when I was conceived. They then got convicted, and then I was actually born in the Chino Correctional Facility for Women, Chino, California.
Wow.
That's... So yeah, kind of a rough start.
Did you keep a relationship with your parents?
I ended up, my mother, no. She wasn't really able to kick. So she kept dabbling with substances her whole life. And so I never really got to know her because she was pretty much out of the picture from the time I was like 3 and a half, 4. Mm-hmm. But then I stayed with my dad, who was able to clean his act up. And, you know, we had a good 50 years together. Unfortunately, he recently passed, but I had a great relationship with my dad. He was my father and he was there for me and everything. And he said, I saved him, you know, I got him clean.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy where you felt a source at first of such loss? And then in the future, he needed you the most.
Yeah, we definitely had a special relationship. And he's a big part of the reason I am who I am today.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy with your upbringing. Most people would have gone so downhill in life, and you have gone the complete opposite. You felt unwanted by your parents, by your family, and in life. How did you instill positivity to keep on going when you feel the opposite from those around you?
In my experience and from my perspective, I didn't feel unwanted. I did feel the love of my father for sure. And actually my grandmother too, a lot when I was very young. I never felt unwanted. I did feel, my experience was my experience, and I don't know anything other than that or anything different, but it was very much an experience of my father never really treated me as a boy. He always treated me as a man. Yeah, the experience taught me a lot about mindset and about if you fall down, get up again, you know, over and over again. And so that really led to a lot of the, you know, innovations I made in the flavors with our product, because I just kept trying and trying and trying. And eventually, after a lot of note-taking and a lot of failures, I figured it out.
If you were to tell someone three things to get them through hard times, whether it's their upbringing or just a really hard time in life, because it sounded like you were able to change the entire dynamic in your life, in your head, to turn your experience into something else. So what would be your top three pieces of advice to tell people?
Yeah, I mean, I would say like perspective is everything. So every time I fail, and I fail all the time, and it's great because I learn something from every failure, and I improve and I get better. And I look not as, I don't even look at it as a failure. I just look at it as like, oh, we didn't figure it out this time. Mm-hmm. So what did we learn from this experience, and how can we do it better next time? Mm-hmm. So perspective, like that mindset, you know, and that's also related to the second one, which is like, you're only a victim if you choose to let yourself be one. If you believe you're one, then you are one. So if you can get around that victim mindset, because I think a lot of, generally speaking, a lot of people have the victim mindset where it's always, they blame everything else, on some other circumstance, some other problem. And it's like, hey, if I can do it, I started out in jail and, you know, I'm figuring it out. So if I can do it, you can do it. Like, you know, and the third thing is just tenacity. I mean, just keep going, especially if you're an entrepreneur. Like being a fireman, to be honest, for me was what I would naturally do, like, is help people in an emergency. And so it wasn't that much of a stretch for me. And now I got training and I have other guys to help me out and, you know, all these tools. It just made me better at doing that. But being an entrepreneur is a completely different experience I was totally unprepared for. And so it's been incredibly challenging for me as a person to grow.
Those are incredible pieces of advice. You also said, pay attention or pay with pain. What do you mean by this?
Yeah, I was quoting my good friend Johan Gerb on that one. But he would always say that because, you know, we would go hiking or sometimes like mountain biking. And, you know, when inevitably when I'd wipe out or something, it'd be like I was looking at getting distracted by a flower or, I don't know, some bees or something. I love nature. So I'm always like, oh, wow, look at that owl or something, you know, and then sometimes on occasion I've been not paying attention to where I was walking because I was looking at nature and I slipped or something like that. So Johan talks about pay attention or pay with pain. But that also goes for emotional and other aspects too, because emotionally you can pay with emotional pain if you're not like paying attention, say, to your relationship with your partner or, you know, your family members, you know. So it works on both fronts, really.
I really like that quote. And you worked as a first responder, and that's how you came up with your idea to build RichNuts. Tell me about your time as a firefighter, as a first responder, and then what led to you thinking of this idea to biohack yourself and, you know, find all these biohacking modalities in your product.
I worked as a LA County firefighter and paramedic for 20 years. And the last 12 years I was stationed in Malibu. And during that time I found like we would end up on quite a few brush fires, and there's never any, I had already started eating organic and stuff. So there was never really any good food available on brush fires because you're in a remote area out in the wilderness. There's no food there. And sometimes what was available to us would be like prison sack lunches, MREs, which are the military rations, or fast food on occasion. None of that really worked for me. So what I would do is I would carry like a pound of raw cashews in my, they were organic too, but they were raw, and I would carry them in my little pack. And I would just take a handful here and there as we were like, you know, when I could in between, because you might be out there 6 or 8 hours, you know, working pretty hard, even longer sometimes.
Right.
And you need some food, but you don't have time to sit down and have lunch or anything, and there's nothing there. So I found when I would eat those raw cashews, I started getting, instead of the energy I expected from the fat and protein, I got gassy and bloated. I had brain fog, and I was like, oh, I feel terrible. What's going on? So I did some research and I found
you need to be at your best when you're fighting those fires.
Yeah, I'm trying not to die here.
Right.
And so I basically did some research and I found out about these things called lectins and phytic acid, which are considered like anti-nutrients, which essentially block, inhibit, and disrupt our digestion, allowing that nutter seed to pass through us so it can grow into a new plant. And that's the strategy of nature, is to have animals eat those seeds, and some of them pass through whole because they have that chemical shield. and then they can grow into a new plant somewhere else. And that's how plants spread. So basically what we do to mitigate that digestive problems caused by the lectins and the phytic acid is we soak them in water, which activates them, puts the nuts into a growth phase where they become more digestible and therefore more nutritious. At that point, we season them lightly and then we dehydrate them to perfection. And what you end up with is like this amazing crunch that's really unique. So I started making those just on my own with sage and rosemary from my backyard. And I would share them with all my friends and family and all the guys at work. And eventually, every time I walk in the room, everyone would be like, hey, you got any more of those nuts? You got any more of those nuts? So I would just be making them. And I did an audit on my finances and I spent like $700 on organic cashews. It was like 100 pounds. And I knew I didn't eat them all. So I've been giving most of it away. So at that point, I told everyone, hey, guys, you're going to have to start paying me for this because it's getting kind of expensive.
Yeah.
And the overwhelming response was, okay, how much do you want for that? And so that's how the business started, essentially.
Nuts are really hard to digest. The fact that you were able to come up with that idea is amazing. And I'm so excited to try them myself. When you now eat your own brand of rich nuts, are you really feel a difference internally with your body?
Yeah. Yeah. The sprouting is what makes a big difference. And when I first started doing it, so basically anyone can do it. You just get nuts and you put them in water overnight. And then the next day you take the water away and then you can eat them right there. The only problem is they're kind of mushy. They're super moist. And so if you leave them out, they get moldy pretty fast. So you have to put them in the refrigerator. Now they're cold and mushy. I'm like, I don't really want to eat this. And that's when I had my second aha moment, because that alone, eating those, got rid of my digestive issues. But I couldn't keep them in a bag. I didn't have a way to store them and have them fresh with me on the fire department. So it didn't really work for my application. So that's when I said, well, what if I put them in this old dehydrator and see what happens? And that, you know, brought back the crunch. It locked in the flavor and they preserved them naturally. So it was like the perfect combo.
Firefighter became chemist. New headline. Yeah.
I just started taking a lot of really good notes and trying everything and then only changing one thing on each experiment and literally did hundreds of experiments for years. I still am, you know, continually working on flavors and stuff.
I think that's the most important thing is in business. You got to keep pivoting. You got to see what works, what sticks. Where can people find Rich Nuts?
Well, you can find them in several places. We're online at richnuts.com. We're also available on the Amazon and in Southern California, and we're just opening up in Northern California. So we have a whole bunch of retail locations, Erewhon here in Southern California, Nugget Market, Molly Stones in Northern California, Lassen's, Mother's here, and Jimbo's. So all throughout Southern California.
Amazing. And also on your website as well.
And richnuts.com. Yeah, that's the easiest.
You also enrolled in the U.S. Navy Reserves. Yeah. Thank you for your service. You've done so much. It's really remarkable. Between being, you know, in the U.S. Navy and also being a first responder and a firefighter, can you pinpoint a time or something that you had to develop, a quality you had to utilize to keep persevering and to grow your business?
Well, one of the great things and one of the most important things to being a good firefighter is like to being calm under pressure, right? You don't want to be panicking or freaking out. Sometimes, you know, all hell is breaking loose and you got to just keep breathing and really control your beat. It's like almost like a Zen practice. Be present, move quickly, but not rush, because when you're in a hurry, you make mistakes. And it's the same thing with business. If you rush and you hurry, then you make mistakes. And then then it's even more costly in time and resources because you have to go back and do it again. So staying calm and present. And even though things are stressful, like not freaking out, like fear is a big, it takes a lot of people down, because when you get afraid, you make decisions poorly. If you can just stay present and be in the discomfort, what you see that thing as like, against you or something that you're afraid of, then I just look at it as a way to pivot. Like, how do we get around this and how do we make this work for us? So it's really, like you said, mindset and perspective to me is key to everything. You know, even the simple difference between the statement, I have to go to work today, or I get to go to work today, it just tells you everything about how you feel about it. You know, if it's an obligation or if it's privileged. And if it feels like an obligation and it's not serving you, then maybe there's something better for you.
And talking about that fear aspect, can you take us through kind of, let's say, whether I'm fighting a fire hypothetically, or I am stressed about something in my day, take me through the steps that you actually do to bring that fear away and bring yourself back to the present.
There's a lot of breathing techniques, and I really love breath work. Super powerful practice that I love that's very basic is called box breathing. The Navy SEALs are famous for doing this when they're like, you know, under fire and in the real stuff. So it's basically, it's a very simple one. So you would inhale for, say, a count of 4, 5, 6, whatever feels comfortable for you, a full inhale. Whatever that number is, if it's 6, then you hold it for a count of 6, then you exhale for a count of 6, and then you hold it with it out, exhaled for a count of 6. And so you make like a box. Then again, you inhale for 6, and you just kind of keep going with that pattern of 6. So you hold on the top and you hold on the bottom. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty basic one, but it's really about expanding your lungs fully and then dumping everything out fully. It helps to bring you into a more rest and relax mode, basically, in your nervous system. So it brings on, I think it's the parasympathetic. It's the calming rest and relax.
Yeah.
And so that takes you out of stress. It brings you back in. Your frontal cortex comes on board, and you can make some higher level decisions without being in the lower lizard brain and freaking out.
You also talk about your zones of genius in business. What is it, if people feel like they're wearing 20 hats, what are some of your best tips for people to reach that state of genius and keep them in their flow to keep growing their business?
Yeah, so operating in your zone of genius is, it's basically like there's a bunch of tasks in the business that I can do, like pretty much all of them, right? Some of them I may be good at, some of them not so good at. And the more time I'm spending in like doing admin or now production, which is basically like repeating the same process, I already figured out the process and the ingredients and the whole thing. So it's just like, repeat this. I can of course do that, but that is not the best use of my time. My time is better used now in, you know, being the biggest ambassador and being an educator and teaching people about sprouting and doing public speaking and events and podcasts and this kind of stuff. So I can kind of share the message about how sprouting helped my digestive system. And I'm pretty sure it can help a lot of other people's too. So my zone of genius is doing that. And so like the more time I'm focusing there, the less time I'm, you know, in production or doing all these other tasks that we've now hired other people to do. So that's basically it. You start taking off the hats. And you know, I had no ego in this thing. Like I was the CEO for the first 3 years or whatever. And my wife, Samantha, she's my business partner and my wife. And I made her the CEO like a year and a half ago because she's an amazing leader. And she gets so much out of the team because she nourishes the team and like just loves up on the team so much that they bring their best self to the table all the time. And it's like, oh man, we need you to do this crazy emergency thing in the middle of the night. Cool, I got it, no problem, you know, because they feel like loved and they feel like a part of the team and nourished. And that allows me to come back and start creating content and, you know, talking about the marketing and the branding and doing podcasts and all of this stuff. So it comes from The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, I believe.
Ooh, I have to read it. I think a lot of CEOs and leaders, they try to do everything on their own. And I do think that's amazing advice, is sometimes you got to bring it down for a sec, realize how much more you can accomplish by having others help you out a little bit and growing your team. And you have served with the Navy Reserves. You were a first responder and a firefighter. Is there one moment within all these crazy times that I'm sure you've had in all of your acts of service that has stood out for you the most, that has been some kind of event or feeling that has left an indelible impact in your life?
I would say one of the things that left an indelible moment, and people always ask, like, as a fireman, what was the scariest moment ever that happened for you? Did you almost die ever, or what, you know, that kind of thing? And the scariest moment for me was when I was recently like fresh off probation. So I was a pretty new firefighter and I was working in West Hollywood at Station 8 at the time. and we have this fire in a furniture store, and it was really dark and smoky. We tried to make entry, but we couldn't really find the seat of the fire. I was on the attack hose line, and basically it was getting too hot, so we decided to come out, and it was too dark, and we were like bumping into stuff, and the fire hadn't ventilated, all kinds of issues. They were making it super dangerous. So we backed out, and literally as soon as we backed out, the plate glass windows in the front broke and fire just blew out the front. So if we would have been inside, we might have died right there. So that was pretty close. But at the same time, when that window broke, one of our other guys was climbing down a ladder and the flames just fully engulfed him. He was climbing down with a chainsaw. So he just tossed the chainsaw, flipped to the bottom of the ladder and dropped, I don't know, like 12, 15 feet. But he had all his gear on. So that was one of the scariest moments for me, because I just saw one of our guys get totally engulfed in flames, and I thought he was going to be super injured, but he wasn't. And luckily it was a near miss, you know. We could have been inside and he could have not had his mask on or something. Wow. So
brings a lot into perspective.
Yeah, totally.
And that's the coolest thing, is I think it's, I mean, you've obviously put yourself in so many places of discomfort, but I think the more people do that, the more they have perspective in life, whether it's meeting people like you who've gone through really hard, scary times, or putting themselves in those situations, it brings all the perspective you need in life to be able to see the light in any hard situation.
It's funny, like I did all those like very macho things too. So I was a, you know, fireman in the Navy, but little known fact also, I was a cheerleader at UCLA.
Did you grow up doing gymnastics?
No, I always like played football and wrestled, but I transferred into UCLA and I kind of just accidentally got recruited onto the cheerleading squad.
Would you say you are an adrenaline junkie?
I don't know about a junkie, but I feel like when you take yourself to the edge, you have no choice but to be fully present. So I really like that feeling. And I've only really experienced it in like surfing. I used to surf quite a bit, or even snowboarding when you're getting really like hardcore. Because like if you're thinking about the bills coming due, or you got to go do this errand or that errand, you're just going to wipe out. You know, you have to be present. And that's why I like doing the ice baths too. So I do like the 40 degree ice baths, and I do like 3 minutes in the cold water. And you have to be there fully present. You can't be, you're not thinking about anything else except I'm in this cold water. So I really like those opportunities to become super present. And I think that using your body in extreme ways is part of like getting there.
If someone's new into learning how to become more present in life, you said ice baths, you said meditation, that box method of breath work. What is the most simple thing that someone can do to be more present in life?
Breathing, I mean, to me is the key. Breath work, I mean, you know, here's the thing. You can learn breath work. Maybe you take a class or something, or you try several ones so you find one that works for you. But once you have the technique down, it's free and you can do it just about anywhere, almost any time. And there's a lot of different techniques. I really like the Wim Hof method.
Yes, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, and that's the one related to the ice baths. There's also one called Pyramid Breath, which is fantastic. That one's a little bit harder to do sometimes because it's a when you exhale, you like make a lot of noise and yell and scream. And so you might have to be mindful of, depending on where you live or, you know, public places, it might be a little weird.
Breathing really does center you and it brings you back.
I have a pretty serious morning routine that takes me about 3.5 hours.
Can you take us through it?
Yeah. So I wake up about a half hour before the sunrise, depending on where I am. I do these Egoscue techniques, which are basically pelvic floor strengthening techniques. It's about a 20-minute workout. Then I go for a walk and I sun gaze. I look directly at the sun. After it comes up, it's basically the first 30 minutes after sunrise, or the last 30 minutes before sunset that you can say. Yeah. So I do that while doing Qigong, which is amazing. Breathing in love, gratitude, abundance, joy, exhaling fear, anger, frustration, all the negative emotions. Then I come back and I do breath work and meditation with my wife. We do the five Tibetan rites. And then I go jump in the ice bath and I finish it all up with my favorite, which is a bulletproof mushroom coffee. So it's like all stacked. I set up my habit stack in a way where my favorite thing is right after my least favorite thing. So my least favorite thing is getting into the freezing cold water, but my favorite thing is the bulletproof coffee. So after I get in the cold water, I get the bulletproof coffee, you know, so you set it up for success.
For me, stretching, it's like, if I don't get a quick little stretch in, I feel so stiff for the rest of the day. I feel like my mind isn't even moving. So find out what it is, I guess, for everyone that's going to be like your number one that you have to do in the morning to set your day up. I want to ask you my last question. At Food Food Junkies, our motto is addicted to health. What are you addicted to?
I mean, I'm addicted to my morning routine. Like, this feels so amazing when I do it. And when I don't do it, I feel like not as good. And I feel, I mean, because it starts your day from this place of being present where you've been totally intentional about the first, you know, 25% of your day. And everything from there is a win for me, you know, because I get into that zone of equanimity and I bring that's the intention and stuff that I'm and energy I'm bringing into creating this business. It's not just like I wake up, oh no, I got a bunch of bills to play, hurry up, work. You know, I could wake up and do that, but and sometimes I do and I can, and I can miss my stuff, but when I do it for like 2 weeks,
you're at your best when you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
How can people connect with you?
Follow us on Instagram at rich.nuts. And then my personal one, which is rich_PW. We have fun there too. And that one's a little different. It's all about, I like to connect with nature and kind of inspire others to do so. I feel like nature is the source of life on the planet. So if we can come into tune and harmony with that, we might have a different experience. One of my big passions is regenerative agriculture. And how it provides, you know, 30% more food, 30% more nutritious food, and sequesters 3 to 7 times the carbon per square acre. I think it's provides us an opportunity to avert the climate crisis. So we need to all get on board with it.
What can we do to help?
You can start supporting brands that are regenerative certified or that are using regenerative products. It's starting to become a little bit more of a known certification. There's one called the ROC, Regenerative Organic Coalition, and it has 3 values that it upholds. So organic, regenerative, and fair trade. If you get something with that, it was basically started by Patagonia and Dr. Bronner's and a couple other companies.
I'm so excited to try Rich Nuts and support you and follow you along your journey. So thank you so much for your service. Thank you for coming on today.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'd love to hear your thoughts after you give them a shot.
Thank you guys so much for listening today. Check out Rich Nuts at richnuts.com. They are so tasty and the best snack. Also, let us know your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It would mean so much to us. Are you a coach or a trainer? Check out True Coach at truecoach.co. You can train your clients online with the number one platform built for personal trainers just like you. Trusted by over 20,000 coaches worldwide. Start your free 14-day trial today to build your programming, connect with your clients, and scale your business. I am so excited that you are joining the Fit Food Junkies journey with me.